Beginning of questions and answers on the same day.
What was the longest meditation today?
6 hours.
6. You also did 6 hours.
From Toronto?
Yes, from Toronto. And they say that every time you meditate, they begin the mantra and then open your eyes at what seems half a second later and half an hour has passed. This happens with each meditation, and they say it could be that they're asleep, but that no sleep could be so kind. And is it just that they are getting to the kind of mental state without experiencing the subtle level?
Experiencing that level, they get on today. Experiencing, they may not.
They say they
could
blank out completely immediately upon
starting the mantra. It's only immediately, maybe very soon. Starting the mantra and immediately means starting the mantra and through the mantra they get on to that. They must be passing through it, but maybe very quick. 3-4 times repetition, 5 times like that. And one doesn't feel that. One only feels, oh, immediately. So it's a matter of expressing immediately, but it's never literally immediately. Like that, like that, like that, like that. And then half an hour passes off in one stroke.
Anything during that
hour,
it's just like that.
Blank out completely.
Yes.
Huh? This happens to them when? In the morning?
Well, the thing is, they say they're meditating 4 times a day for half hour each
time. Ask them what time they get up in the morning.
Yes.
And at the time of getting up, whether they feel completely fresh or not. If not, ask them to not come out till they begin to feel fresh. It may quite be that in the morning they get up very early, even to meditate, but lack of rest throw them into that blankness rather than into the clarity of being. And they don't feel inside they are awake?
No.
No sense of awareness, inner, huh? And what do they want to do when they open their eyes at the end of half an hour? Do they want to sleep or do they want they feel fresh? Ask them. Ask them. If this is the daily pattern of meditation, then firstly inquire from them what time they get up, if they are fresh at the time of getting up. Second question is, after meditation, when they open the eyes, what do they want to do? Whether they would like to lie down or they can't lie down, they have had to get up and work. If they have to get up and work, then it's a right meditation. If they want to lie down, then it may be that when they come out of bed in the morning, they are not very fresh, lack of rest.
I want to try, is it a good idea for a person to carry on regular activity to meditate for these 4 periods a day, 4 hours?
What are the timings that they meditate?
I think in the morning and then at lunch, immediately afternoon.
Yeah. Morning and before lunch?
Morning, before lunch, immediately afternoon, and then earlier in the evening.
After work and early in the evening, how much difference?
So at work upon immediately finishing work, and then once they get home again for another half hour.
No harm doing like that. But ask him if he gets up completely fresh. This is very important. Half an hour late is better to get up rather than 15 minutes early. Better to get up half an hour late, because then one is completely rested. Rest, bliss in restfulness.
अर्जुन के लिए गीता में कहा है कि नींद के जीतने
मीन्स फ्री फ्रॉम तमोगुण.
तो ही नेवर स्लेप्ट इट मीन्स
या ही डिडंट.
अर्जुन नेवर स्लेप्ट फ्रॉम अर्जुन
नेवर स्लेप्ट इंद्रजीत. व्हाट वाज हिज नेम? Some name here.
Yes, yes. Nidra to jeetne wala.
Does that mean he rested in that
state? I of Riya.
Riya during sleep. Does that mean that, or that he ever was active?
Or that he could sleep, or and that he at will he could.
Yes? No. He wouldn't. He would feel so fresh.
Always.
Because in that state, experience of inner awareness and sleep both together.
Yes. Yes. That's what I mean. Then when he.
But
then, he didn't.
He didn't sleep. He didn't sleep means he didn't sleep.
That must have been after the Gita. Before he was just, you said he was very sattvic man.
Yes, very, very sattvic.
Not in that state.
No, even before. For many, many years he was here.
He has been addressed in Gita.
He has been addressed. There is some name.
He has been addressed in Gita as that.
Yes. So that must mean that he didn't have transcendental consciousness, and that from his state of sattva.
Yeah, from his state of sattva. Right.
Right. There was no tamas.
Right.
But he was very, very active.
So that is a different kind of sleep from the sleep of cosmic.
It's completely different. It is a sleep, and that he did not have. Sleep. He didn't have tamas.
But a famous warrior being so active and yet not having sleep.
Sattva. That means he did not fall into tamas. Did not fall into tamas. Very excellent.
Is that the result of tapasya, or was he born like
that? Tapasya.
With meditation, you don't
lose anything. Yes, that also. And then you don't need sleep if you regulate your diet also.
But I don't see how it should be regulated very much more.
Could be more regular. When I live on honey water,
yes,
or yogurt, then very little sleep is needed.
Yes, but sometimes we ask you, Maharshi, and you say, no, don't go to that. Eat
You don't have to go to those extremes.
No, but sometimes we go on water cures for a long time because we need to sleep. And you know,
it would be less.
Not so very much less, really. Because we have days and we have maybe...
For how many days?
10 days. And sometimes I get even more tired.
Tired, of course. Tired because lack of nourishment, no? But, but this is what I said. Regulated diet. Regulated diet. So that you don't feel weak and you don't feel sleepy.
Is there any particular of the sattvic mind and the proper dieting?
Proper dieting, yeah.
Is there any particular
that thing alone?
What actually is the meaning of the word tapasya? Does it mean concentrated action or concentrated thought? Sort of like charging up a battery where...
Tapas is abstinence from sensory enjoyment. Abstinence from sensory enjoyment, willfully, consciously. All sorts of comforts are included in that.
And will that mean, like, as the senses are sort of discharging the battery or going outwards, it is like putting up a, like putting up an electrical potential?
Yeah.
So
putting up a band.
Yes. So, put, so that nothing leaks out. So then the energy is just
stored.
So this abstinence would be, technically spoken, like these
conservation
isolators, which make the current not leak, but be a potency in the wire.
Yeah.
Conservation of energy.
Conservation of energy.
Now, if you didn't use a particular sense, especially, would the power which you get correspond to that particular sense?
You will be stored. That's why tapas results in development of certain powers. This or this or this. This is tapas. It doesn't capture the fort, it captures some of the minds lying here and there.
Under the
Now, if you capture the fort, which means we have unlimited energy, then there is no use in storing energy here and there, because anyway you have enough of it.
Yeah.
But there could still be certain powers, particular powers, which you don't have, but you have potential
powers. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, but then in a higher state of consciousness, then tapas would be no misery, because it would be just...
Then in that higher state of consciousness, tapas has no place.
Has no place.
Because you might want to use certain powers for the good of the world, and from that point of view you might...
Even the gods are doing tapas, it is said in the scriptures.
When the demons defeat them, and then they run into tapas.
Not actually defeat them, but remove them.
Keeps on happening, no? Sometimes the demons do great tapas and they become powerful. And then they raid. Many times it has happened in history. Then who is the guru of the gods? Brihaspati. Brihaspati has so many times advised them No, they are very powerful, and you people have not been doing tapas, so you run away, hide yourself in the cave. Don't go to face them. No? They'll defeat you. So they run out and they hide themselves into the cave and then do the tapas. And when having done tapas, then they come out. And then they come out and then the demons and they fight. And whosoever tapas is in peace.
Generally they go and beg the god.
They go here and there to some higher ones.
How is it that demons always become devotee of Shankara?
Tamas. Because their basis of life is tamas. So the god of tamas is Shiva. Shiva is the god of tamas. Controls the tamas.
Shankar Shiva. Shiva and Shankar the same.
Oh, I see.
Not Shankaracharya.
Yes, I
know. Shankar same. And Shiva.
The Shankar Acharya. Shankar the teacher. Shankar the teacher. First Shankaracharya is held as the incarnation of Lord Shiva.
Why is Lord Shiva the god of tamas that accounts for his weeping at the moment of creation? Because it was all against him.
Yes, the tamas was being broken, so...
Yes.
The jiva was being brought out of his realm. Because. On the path to knowledge, tamas is the greatest barrier. So someone who could destroy tamas can lay open the gates of wisdom.
Yes, you can. And now having power over tamas, you mean being a very
power over power over tamas.
And then, Maharshi, is it not in recluseship, because Lord Shiva is also the lord of those who ascetics, penance, and they look as abstinent from the grosser, not attracted to the more subtle thought of, but more repelled from the gross. And that repellence from the gross is the tamas aspect of evolution. It is the destruction of the bud to make the flower come up, isn't it? So if you look in your growth more to leave this, leave that, leave that, leave that, leave that. So then that is also in itself
getting the inertia.
This special point. even in evolution, which is all sattva, this tamasic aspect remains. If one thinks of evolution in those terms, it could be called the way through destruction of the unwanted.
Yeah. Destruction of the unwanted.
Hmm? And on all this recluse ways certainly has this aspect to some extent. I mean, not recluse, but the ascetic way.
Ascetic way.
Let's just finish.
Huh? What, running away from God?
If you take two actions, one is running away from the God, and the other is running towards the Tattva, would you say that these two actions fall under different demons?
Running to the circle is transcendental meditation.
Yes, I know.
Running from the gross is tapas. No, not running from the gross, running from...
No.
Running from all glories of life.
Yes, and what
comfort.
That would you put that under
Tamas? You would put it under misguided.
Well, that is ignorant.
Misguided life, yeah. Misguided life. Not knowing that full life can be lived more spontaneously, easily. People try hard this way and this way, and the more they try, the more they fall into ignorance. Mm.
But you were saying something about ascetics.
It's a matter of choice. Mm-hmm. But the ascetics also have to have this transcendental meditation to bring fulfillment to their asceticism.
Yes, but even this
without this, what is it?
But even this transcendental meditation can be looked at as leaving something. That is that cross-centered experience.
Leaving the market, entering the bank.
Yes, yes. And that leaving the market as
is not important.
Yes, but it is there. And
could be talked
about.
Yes. Could be talked about in that fashion, but
you come back to it straight away.
You come back straight away, rather than permanently retiring. No leaving all the time, gaining and gaining.
Tapas as such could have no moral sort of thing at all then. It could be used for evil in, as demons do tapas. It's just a sort of, just a mechanical sort of power.
It seems to be a technical thing. I always have thought of it like some...
It's a technical thing.
Electrical... wiring, that also is the same thing in principle.
It's a particular circuit.
Charged up some circle and isolated from the other. And every potentiality to be charged must have an isolation, otherwise it doesn't function.
Different type of bridge.
Yes, so then that is the isolation.
Yes.
And that could be understood very technically.
Like in all the scriptures, it's always, if you do this, if you want this, do this. It's just mechanical. If you have this aim, do this.
Right.
You see, if you want this, do this. You see, it's just quite mad, you know.
Yes.
Quite mechanical.
Quite mechanical.
So it's, yes.
All the circuits are pronounced, very clearly brought up.
Yes, it's like an engineering handbook on human behavior.
Yeah. Yeah.
Would this be a good time to tell us something about how the psychedelic drugs work? The fact is that apparently you don't have this problem in Germany, but we have it in Canada and the United States. Great many students are taking LSD and mescaline drugs and enjoying the dreams and hallucinations they have. And I know from what Maharshi has said that it's only a dream or a hallucination, but I'm interested in knowing what part of the nervous system it triggers that it produces this dream or hallucination.
What part of the nervous system? Say same thing as happens in dream. In dream, this waking state of consciousness is cut off, and one gets into another state of consciousness.
The things they think of in these dreams, the hallucinations, and a good many of them seem to have quite a lot of truth in them.
So
there is nothing definite about the dream, any dream. Dreams could be true and could be false. But no specific pattern could be laid out regarding dreams.
They have
Many of them do say they see life quite differently after the experience.
That is all. It may be unlike the experience that they ever had in the waking state. So experience unlike any other experience so far. That might be termed as transcendental. But as far as transcendental consciousness is concerned, even if it is experienced for a moment, there is found some change in this, in almost every sphere of life. Nature changes. The nature of a man changes. If some basic changes are found in nature, then we can accept that the mind has gained transcendental consciousness.
It's not a switch over to a different circuit, a genuine...
Yes. So what's the difference? That's like dream. The circuit of the waking state finished. The other circuit comes to action.
The LSD we just referred to is probably mescaline.
And I expect it's the doors of perception you're referring to also of Huxley's. And this is, this mescaline does not bring people into the sleeping stasis. It keeps them at the awake stasis, but increases the perception largely. It is not at all a pleasant thing, and it is not at all a thing which could be recommended to anyone. I'm only referring to the experiments Aldous Huxley has done in his own body, and referring to the book called Doors of Perception. And it is not a sleeping state, it's an awake state.
It lasts about 8 hours. The doctor administers it. It's about an 8-hour experience that they have. It's just that so many of the students are getting this drug illegally and experimenting with it, and a great deal of discussion. Just handy to know what to tell them.
And how are you, what have you been telling them?
Well, I've been telling them what you told them last year, that it wasn't the nature of a dream or hallucination, that it was not a true transcendental experience, that it was like the sun shining through a red glass on a table cloth, and that when the glass was taken away, the tablecloth was untransformed.
Beautiful. Really,
but for my own satisfaction, what went on in the head? Was there...
The red glass was inserted. The red was inserted. Instead of the white glass, red was inserted. Under the influence of the drug. How these drugs influence these people who have made researches on that, we'll find out. But sure enough, it can't be transcendental consciousness if it does not leave any permanent change.
It leaves a temporary change.
Temporary change.
Mm-hmm. That's why
it can even last for months or two. That's why we can say something like a dream.
I understand, Maharaj, that it opened up subtler levels of memories of which are never known to us in our waking consciousness. And they are opened up and they are experienced simultaneously.
Like the experience in dream.
The unit of all in jail and with alcoholics, they claim in some cases it does affect a remarkable change in the individual. Not always, but in some cases.
It's like shock treatment.
I guess so. They say that in the subconscious mind.
Mm.
Then for some people it's a very terrible experience.
I didn't have to go through two books. One was called Doors of Perception, and then he followed up by a book called Between Heaven and Hell. And he says that some people experience hell taking mescaline, and other people experience heaven. And he experienced both.
Sometimes this and sometimes.
That's why the book was called Heaven and Hell.
Not Heaven or Hell.
Aldous Huxley was more of a writer than a thinker. That is the conscientious being. More a writer than a thinker.
But when these things open the memory or the subconscious, which is also to be said consisting of memory in modern psychology, then it can only open the miseries of the past, so, as you put it, so a lesser evolved state.
Yeah, past is lesser evolved.
So if it opens the memory, it wouldn't open the gate of perception in that sense, but it wouldn't get, consciousness would get...
Retardation of perception.
Yes. So it would bring back a past state, and that can only be a lesser developed in any case.
And that can only be the closing of the gate of perception.
It makes some people feel this unity with all life and so forth, you know.
Take such experiences, you can accept. But as long as they don't leave the change in the life of a man, you don't accept it. Change on the level of consciousness, not change of consciousness.
Would you say it was damaging to the
mind? So that doctor's got to
follow. But one of the things about Aldous Huxley's book, what it brought out very much, was that the emotion was intensified, and that's why he called it a doors of perception. He felt that if he listened to a gramophone record, his emotions were so intense, much more intense than they would have been without the influence of the drug. If he saw a flower, he went into great ecstasy at the beauty of the flower, whereas in a normal state he would have probably been left cold. And when he looked at a modern car, he went into fits of laughter because he thought it was the most peculiar thing he'd ever seen in his life.
Let me come away from the reality. It's
only
dreaming then.
So I'm going into fits of laughter if I see these American cars.
Yes.
You should turn and forget about Olsen.
The International Assembly. So Swaggin, coughing again the Cadillac.
Maharishi, there's a doctor in London who has done some more interesting experiments homeopathically on this mescaline, a Dr. Fubister. He's a pediatric physician and Who is specialist, Dr. Hoofster, and he's been using a potentized homeopathic form of masculine, and he's had wonderful results in treating particularly young people who have symptoms similar to having taken the drug masculine. And he's now working on trying to see what he can do with people who have actually taken the drug.
As we discussed in the morning, there could be something from the physical side to bring about that consciousness. There could be something from the mental side to produce that state of restful alertness of nervous system to give rise to that consciousness. Both. We could accept that there could be some drugs which could influence the nervous system to reflect real transcendental consciousness. It could be possible. The possibility exists. But no, don't raise objection. Only we say that from the effects that we hear, these masculines and such things as are known today, they don't seem to meet the requirement. Otherwise, there could be medicines which could set up the nervous system to that level. Principally, we would accept. And when that consciousness is achieved, then it will be real transcendental consciousness which will transform the life of a man as is done through meditation.
If it's produced by a drug or by some, that would be sort of an outer influence, so the getting there would not be of the same culturing effect, or would it?
No. Very, very good point. Here is the objection that if somebody takes the medicine, suddenly the nervous system is set to that level, begins to reflect transcendental consciousness. But if the mind has not been cultured through experiencing those subtle states and subtlest and then transcend, then the man may suddenly have some glimpses, some flashes of, and then come back. A sort of shock. Yes. It could be that way also. At the same time, there could be that gradual application of the medicine, so that the mind keeps on retiring from the gross and then subtle and subtle. Naturally, all those intermediary steps also fulfilled. The use of drug could also be to that value. So there could be that manner of taking that drug could be such, like that. So if it is done in this way, then we could accept possibility of transcendental consciousness through drug.
Would that drug then be the nectar of the gods?
Then that might be so, Marasa. So.
Into the process of meditation from the chemical side, the body would produce itself some such thing compared to what the drug does from outside?
Right, it may be that always changing cells and this, the blood always changing, it gets surcharged with such an element being produced in that state that the decay stops. in order to stop the decay, there must be some chemical change in the body. It has to be. So, when that consciousness is gained, simultaneously, some element must be produced, some chemical must be produced all over the body, which will disallow decay.
Yes, that is why that soma is called the drinking of eternal life.
If soma is that, then we could accept that. Then that soma rasa is produced in every stroke of transcendental consciousness. Then the saying that they used to drink soma rasa means they used to meditate and gain the samadhi.
It could also be thought that they really found something to drink it as chemical.
Yeah, as chemical also, as a drug also, herbs also.
Isn't that the next logical step? When this meditation is lost and Kali Yuga goes deeper and deeper, and there's something still simpler, still more mechanical than this meditation, and that will be the next thing that I fall for, you know.
But then, the knowledge, the knowledge to use the drug properly would be by far greater difficulty than learning this meditation. So graded and so
delicately, I can't imagine.
And then for each body differently and all that.
Oh yes, that also would have
the way drugs are nowadays, and sometimes they reach similar effects to what happens naturally, but it's never fine enough and never letting it in.
Use of LSD and all these things.
Yes. There have been so many disasters. Many people have become insane.
This is what these people do. The psychiatrists and all.
But Vern's question implies that when Kali Yuga comes up, a more simple system is needed. But I mean the need somehow. Or that it comes up, it seems to be some contradiction to Kali Yuga even. Because why should Tathin Sat Yuga be the simplest of all? Why does it Kali Yuga? Or is it our special Kali Yuga which has brought up that?
And see, if Kali Yuga keeps on increasing as it could, then it will be a quick fall like that. But as the life of Kali Yuga is that much,
432,000
years. 432,000. So it's not a fall like that. It falls like that and sometimes goes up like that, and then sometimes falls, and then sometimes goes up, and then sometimes. On the whole, it's falling, but on the fall, there are some rises up. So there are some rises up. So we are on the ascent side of the fall. Ascent side of the fall. That is our joy, to be on the ascending side of the falling Kali Yuga.
But probably if someone brought this system up in Sat Yuga, the earth would immediately cease to exist as earth and become heaven right away.
Then in Satyuga it is heaven. Very long lives of the people, all joy, no misery, no disease, no suffering. This is Satyuga. Direct communication with the celestial worlds of gods and all this. All joy and joy. Such a life, very long life. Satyuga is that. We can create like that. With all these young men working, the blowing the trumpet of the SRM. Should be easy within a few years.
But how to create Satyuga when the time is not set for it? Would that not reverse the people in upheaval and all creation?
Lord Shiva would be happy. Brahma may feel miserable. It's possible to do so.
That would be completely against all setup.
Don't be against this setup. It won't be against this setup. It will prolong the life of Kali Yuga. It will bless it with a longer life. Otherwise, it will fall quick. Kali Yuga will live a little longer.
But if the time is fixed, Kali Yuga, isn't it fixed exactly 430?
It's fixed. But it's fixed with such times of rising. Otherwise, if one keeps on decaying, then there won't be very long, quickly decays.
But the time span will be the same. I mean, only the decay, it will all be decaying that time, but the time itself won't be changed, will it? I mean, there'll still be 400 and so many thousand years.
But that will be so many thousand years only when these times of rising keep coming from time to time. Otherwise, if it goes straight one way, down and down and down, it won't live so long.
Is that why all the youth become shorter and shorter?
Yuga is the shortest, Kali Yuga is the shortest.
For having gained the momentum. And it's you.
So this movement is not only minimizing the misery of man, but prolonging, giving longer life to Kali. So that's why we may even get support from him.